You're listening to The Signal Daily.
Hello, I'm Manaswini, your host for The Signal Daily podcast. This is the episode for 16th April 2024. For today's lineup, we are looking at the Iran-Israel recent escalation and its impact on India. That's our first story. And for the main segment, we take a closer look at how Vice India imploded. We are also joined by our senior editor, Soumya Gupta, who says that in Vice's undoing, there's a lesson for foreign media companies looking to set up shop in India. In the past couple of years, the world has been rocked by some of the major conflicts. It all started in 2022 with Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And currently, things are heating up between Iran and Israel. On Saturday, Iran launched a big drone and missile attack on Israel and even seized an Israeli-related container ship in the Strait of Hormuz, which also had 17 Indian nationals on board. But why is Iran going after Israel? Well, it's likely in retaliation for Israel assassinating some of the top officials from the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, or IRGC, in Syria. So the attack by Iran on Israel involved over 300 drones, cruise missiles, and ballistic missiles. Reportedly, though, the attack didn't do much harm in Israel, and the Iron Dome defense system in the country managed to shoot down most of the threats, and they also got some help from the US, Britain, France, and Jordan. But sadly, these conflicts don't just hurt the countries involved, they also have a big impact on the global economy. We've already talked about how the Russia-Ukraine war and the Hamas-Gaza conflict messed with the world economy and supply chains in our previous episodes. But now the bigger question that comes to mind is, how will this Iran-Israel escalation impact India? For one, oil prices might shoot up after this attack. And the thing is, the oil markets are already quite wobbly, with prices creeping up closer to $100 per barrel. If the supply gets messed up, we could see the daily crude supply drop, pushing the price of a barrel up to $140 or more. And that's not great news for India because it relies on imports for 85% of its oil needs. But a bigger problem at hand is the airspace disruption. Indian airlines like Vistara and Air India are forced to switch up their flight routes to steer clear of the unrest in the skies over West Asia, where missiles were fired. This could mean more delays and hassles for them, especially with Vistara already reducing 10% of its total flights due to merger problems and the ongoing issues between the two airlines. This attack is bad news for Indian airlines. And it's not just Indian carriers. Even Dutch airline KLM has decided to stop flying over Israel and Iran for a while as a precautionary measure. Besides that, this attack has also got basmati rice and tea exporters in India quite worried. Iran was a big market for basmati rice, making up a large portion of the nearly $4.59 billion in exports last fiscal year. Plus, Indian exporters were also planning to send 40 million kgs of tea to Iran. But if things heat up in the region, it could really hurt Indian exports. What's clear is that India is unintentionally embroiled in this West Asian war. For our second segment, we are going to bring you deep dives on stories from the world of technology, business, policy, and anything that leaves you with food for thought. In February 2024, Vice Media announced that it will stop publishing on its website, which implied more or less that Vice as we knew it was now officially dead. I doubt if it caught anybody surprised given the ongoing so-called media apocalypse in the West, but that doesn't mean that Vice won't be missed. In the media sphere, it can't be denied that it was quite a disruptive brand. I mean, truly, Vice ran where conventional media outlets wouldn't even dare to stand. Its writers and journalists wrote all sorts of stories on off-limit taboo topics like sexuality, kinks, BDSM, underground music, drugs, opium, religious cults, and you know, all those strange, odd and lovely things we love to read about but won't admit publicly. And by the way, that wasn't all. For all the spunk and sex, Vice also chased some good old serious journalism, and over the years it collected all the prestigious awards, be it Pulitzer Prize in 2020 or 10 Emmy Awards in 2022. That's why when Vice came to India in 2016, people got excited, at least those who wanted to be journalists and were in the field but wanted to do something more inventive and quirky. And at that time, Vice was also planning a TV channel and had partnered with Times Internet. But fast forward to 2024, Wise India is practically shut. But what went wrong? And what lessons does Wise India's story hold for foreign media companies betting on the country? These are the questions that Soumya Gupta, our in-house expert on all things media, tried answering in her latest story for The Impression, and I'll link the story in the show notes. And now about what went wrong. Well, as Soumya argues, over almost 8 years of its operations in India, Wise could not figure out its main product, and that's news. The problems arose right from the beginning. For one, the partnership with Times Internet fell through within a year, and with it, Wise's dream of launching a TV channel in India was dissolved. In 2018, several top editors resigned amid clashes over stories, and Wise reportedly wanted to steer away from stories that could upset the government. So journalists were asked to not write on religion or caste or politics. In mid-2018, Wise closed its Delhi office and moved all operations to Mumbai. While it was trying to figure out its editorial policy, Wise was greeted with legal notices in 2021. They were sent by India's Ministry of Information and Technology, inquiring why Wise Media, which was owned by US-based Wise International Holdings, was operating a news business in India. Well, as they say, soul searching began, and by April 2022, the company passed a resolution clarifying that it was not in the business of news or current affairs. Wise India's journalists and editors were again told to keep a respectable distance from newsy stories, especially those related to religion, caste and politics. While Wise India never figured out what its niche in India was, it was still a profitable business. Soumya reported that its branded content and studios business was doing relatively well, and Wise India produced top-tier docu-series for OTT platforms in India, including Indian Predator for Netflix and Rainbow Rishta and Cinema Marte Dam Tak for Amazon Prime Video. As a result, in FY 2022 and FY 2023, the company made a modest profit. And yet, it's practically shut in India. What can we learn from Wise India's story? More specifically, what's the lesson here for foreign media companies? As Soumya says, it's all about regulations.
The biggest lesson for foreign media companies looking at India is all about regulation. In India, the news business is already very hard to crack, and to do it profitably is harder still. It is extremely important to be clear about which side of digital news you stand in when it comes to Indian regulations. Already, the lines between news and other informational content can be very blurry when you're in the business of digital media, whether that's a website or videos or audio, whatever medium it might be. It is important to be clear that if you're in the news, you understand what the implications of it are, particularly now that the new IT Act's 2021 amendments might also come into force. A good example of this is the BBC and the way it restructured its India operations. As I wrote in my story, BBC has now had 4 of its senior editors set up an Indian company called the Collective Newsroom that will do the job that BBC was doing in India, and instead will become a vendor of news to the BBC's UK operations, to the parent firm. That's one way to make sure that you're in compliance with the rules. BBC has been in the country for a very long time, so it makes sense that it would want to restructure its business and make sure that its business remains in the country. Maybe for a new firm trying to come to India for the first time, these rules might seem too daunting and maybe not worth the investment. That's something we need to see. Because of that, the challenges pending in the Delhi High Court to these IT Act 2021 amendments are really crucial. A hearing in these cases has not started yet, but they challenge many provisions which make it harder for a news organization, a digital news organization, to do its job. There are prescriptions on what it can, what it should report on and what it should not. What ethics are applicable to these journalists and what aren't. Their counterparts in print and TV are already regulated, but digital news has been working in a gray zone, regulation-wise. That gray zone might go away, and it might lead to extremely black and white and restrictive rules for people who want to produce news on the internet. What happens next will also heavily depend on who comes to power in the government. So that's also something that foreign media organizations might want to watch out for if they have plans for India. Nevertheless, the point is very clear. India is a huge market, especially for media companies. News is still wide open, despite the challenging business models. And it undoubtedly, many media companies would want to set up shop here, whether foreign or Indian, backed by foreign investors. it all comes down to how these regulations will play out in the long run.
And with that, it's a wrap from our side. But would you miss Vice's quirky stories on your Instagram timeline? I surely will. If you like listening to The Signal Daily, please show us some support. Rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We'd love to hear what you have to say about this podcast. So feel free to shoot an email at hello@thesignal.co. The episode was researched, written and produced by Anoop and me, Manaswini, edited by Venkat Anand and Dinesh Narayanan, mastered and mixed by Yash Hirve. You can catch this podcast every morning on Spotify, Apple, Amazon Prime Music, Google Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. We are thesignal.co on Instagram, LinkedIn and Twitter.